Griff, you have been on Rocky Top and covered basically everything, national championships and controversies. I know you're not in Knoxville, but have you seen anything like what's going on there right now?
Wow. It's been a while, you know, since you've seen a case with this many level one or level two. We used to just call them major violations, according to the chancellor. I mean, that's the person that runs the university telling you that it's shocking and stunning. I'm trying to think, maybe the Ole Miss case a few years ago might have suggested this sort of fallout, although Ole Miss is not doesn't have the level of exposure that Tennessee does. Tennessee's already kind of put itself in the bullseye with some of the controversies in the past, some of the administrative failings. I think what's disappointing about this is that you thought that everything was in line and that the administration was fully behind the football program, and the football program wasn't able to do its part, in short.
Griff is with us, the AJC's Dog Nation. So they say that a snitch shows up November the 13th and spills the goods to them. You think there was an angle here to get out of all this? They know the season's going bad. They start figuring out Jeremy Pruitt's probably not going to save the program, and this is a convenient way to not pay him and everybody else?
No, I think they broke rules and got caught. And 10 people got fired. We're not talking about one. This whole snitch conspiracy is, you know, I don't even want to use the word, horse manure. I mean, if you're cheating, you get caught. And the chancellor, Tennessee, not somebody from the outside, not somebody from Georgia, not somebody from Florida, not some rogue agent. The University of Tennessee chancellor put it down in writing and verbally that bad things were going on. They found them. They called the SEC. The SEC is on alert. They're there. They've been there for a month. They've called in the NCAA. They've hired a law firm. You know, we're talking about, you know, a blazing inferno and someone saying, somebody lit a cigarette in the alley. Do you think that started the fire? No. This is bad. So why are people wasting their time on conspiracy theories? You know, you're talking about a massive issue that Tennessee's got to solve.
Yeah, Griff.
It's just when there's that, again, and I'm going to quote the chancellor. These aren't my takes. This is just, all you got to do is listen. If anybody listened, you know, sometimes people hear what they want to hear, Bill, and they don't hear what they don't want to hear. The chancellor said shocking and stunning levels of violations. So it's not just a matter of, hey, look over there. Somebody bought him an ice cream cone. It's, holy cow, you got fired. 10 people got fired. 10.
My only problem with this is, and yes, it's bad. I'm not suggesting otherwise. It sounds awful. Multiple level one and level two violations, plural. And she was very willing to put that out there, as you said. But if they're 7-3, I suggest there's no snitch.
No.
That's my problem.
I disagree because, first of all, you're assuming that the snitch is somebody from Tennessee. Who's to say the snitch isn't somebody from Kentucky, somebody from Alabama, Auburn? Typically, when people are committing wrongdoings, it's the people that are put at a disadvantage that are going to turn them in, right? It's somebody that lost a recruit. Or something like that. You can go back, you know, through all the NCAA cases. You know, I covered a lot of them. Covered them in Alabama. Covered them in Auburn. Covered past cases at Tennessee. I've seen a lot of it. Michigan State. It's typically not somebody within that's doing the snitching. Okay. And as far as snitching goes, you know, I don't even know why you use that word, Bill. I mean, that assumes there's a negative connotation to reporting somebody for doing something wrong. I mean, I was raised that, you know, if somebody's doing something wrong, it should be fixed, right? Especially if we're talking about at that level. I'm not sitting here saying that, oh, well, everybody else in the SEC is perfect. No, of course not. But what happened at Tennessee doesn't look like one or two little things.
I mean, we're talking about systemic issues here per the chancellor. Now, the question that I have is the degree of Jeremy Pruitt's knowledge of what was happening and oversight. And because anytime you get into a lack of institutional control where you're saying, well, you're the coach, so you should have known, they kind of pick and choose. Like Lane Kiffin, for example. When Lane Kiffin was at Tennessee, Tennessee paid hostesses, okay? Lane Kiffin had an assistant coach pay for hostesses to leave the state and attend a high school game and make illegal contact, okay? That was a member of Lane Kiffin's staff that did that. That is a lack of institutional control. The NCAA made the call. They could have easily been a lack of institutional control, but he was gone. It was found out 3 years later, right? Remember Derek Dooley had to coach for 2 years with this NCAA investigation from Lane Kiffin, and, you know, at what he did in 1 year. In 1 year, what Lane Kiffin did put Tennessee 3 years behind because of not just what he did, but the investigation that lingered. Right now, what Tennessee fans should be focused on is how soon can this get over with? Because if this thing lingers, that's the problem. You know, look, it's done. They found violations. All right, they need to self-impose sanctions. Probably a bowl ban, restriction on scholarships, restriction on visits. They're going to self-impose heavily, with hopes that when the NCAA is done with their investigation, they'll look at how Tennessee handled it and said, "Boy, you guys sure did a lot to yourself. We're not going to add much more." But the question is, how long does it linger? Lane Kiffin lingered for 3 years after he left. Tennessee doesn't need that. Whoever the next guy is, whether Kevin Steele goes from interim to full-time coach, I don't know. He's one of the three finalists that Phillip interviewed for the job the first time, and he's a former Tennessee player. And, you know, when he got brought in, there were two red flags. If you didn't know Jeremy Pruitt was going to be fired, you weren't paying attention. Number one, when his best friend left the staff. When Will Friend left that staff and took $100,000 less to go somewhere else, okay, that was a flaming red flag. Because that's his best friend. That's his college roommate. And when Will leaves, you know it's going to be bad. Two, when they brought in Steele, Kevin Steele and Jeremy Pruitt were never going to coach together. That was never going to happen. Kevin Steele was a $2.5 million defensive coordinator last year at Auburn. You think Jeremy Pruitt wants his ideas? No. So something was going to happen. I mean, you knew that. We just didn't know the magnitude. And now in the fallout, you know, with people driving on conspiracy, oh, well, who snitched? Why? You had 10 people fired. There's probably 1,000 people with information that could have got Tennessee in this trouble. With 10 different people involved, at least 10 different people involved, to the magnitude that they lost their job. So you tell me, you start looking at that circle of knowledge and how many people were aware and who knew what, and it grows rapidly exponentially when you involve 10 people. So what people should focus on now is, one, the NCAA process and how quickly this investigation can get over with. That's why the chancellor and the president and Philip Fulmer were sitting up there transparent. Because they're putting all their cards on the table. They're saying, look, we want to cooperate. We want to tell you everything we know. We want to find out everything we can because Tennessee wants to move on from this. But in the past, like I said, with that Lane Kiffin deal, you can interview Derek Dooley. And I remember, I covered it. Tennessee couldn't get a sniff for some recruits because of the investigation. And people don't want to do anything when there's uncertainty. It's the uncertainty that kills the program. Well, I don't want to go to Tennessee. Why not? Well, because I don't know what's going to happen, right? That's what everybody says. You know, they're under investigation. What does that mean? You know, how many bowl bans? You know, how many restrictions? Is this coach going to be here? It creates uncertainty. So that's Tennessee's biggest issue right now, is the uncertainty that this situation has created.
Look, we'll disagree on this one. I find it highly suspicious that a snitch shows up November 13th. Why November 13th? When the season's going south? I don't get that. I agree with you. The news is bad. I'm not fighting you over the news being bad. It's bad. But why November 13th? Somebody comes forward and says, here, I got something for you here. I just don't get it. I don't get the timing.
Well, there's always – I mean, why does anybody testify when they testify? I don't know. I mean, is that change – you know, I guess if I look at a – you know, I don't watch too much crime TV, but, you know, police officers going, you know, hey, we've got a murder over – yeah, but the question is, when did we get the tip? No. What do you mean, when did you get – yeah, we got an anonymous call on September 3rd about a murder that happened in July. So let's focus – no. Okay, it's – I mean, I hear what you're saying. I guess if what you're driving at, Bill, is do you think that somebody within the program turned in Jeremy Pruitt, or do you think that some upset booster decided randomly that it was time to fire Jeremy Pruitt, and so they would turn in? I mean, there's all sorts of conspiracy theories that you can come up with, but that doesn't matter. It's moot. It doesn't matter. What matters for Tennessee is how do they get their program back on track. What matters for Tennessee is, you know, the next step. I mean, like I said, I guess, you know, for me, I think that's an interesting facet of the case. You know, the timeline is always an interesting facet. You know, well, when, you know, why did Tennessee wait a week to hire a law firm? Why didn't they hire a law firm right away? Why did the SEC wait till December to get involved, right? But this theory that if you're 7-3, it doesn't happen, I don't buy it. Not when it's of this magnitude. To me, the question that I would want to find out, especially with Coach Pruitt's rebuttal, is did he have an awareness of this? And do they have proof that Jeremy was aware of what's going on? To me, that's in the fallout. One, the Tennessee uncertainty on that side of it. Two, in terms of Coach Pruitt and being fair to him, what did he know when? Okay? Can you connect him to these issues? You know, I talked to somebody yesterday, told me they have text messages. All right. Well, whose text messages to whom, right? Was it Jeremy Pruitt text messages? Was it assistant coach text messages? Was it recruiting department? I want to know more about those text messages. Now, that's the kind of stuff that comes out in the wash once the enforcement staff does their investigation. And then ultimately, they'll turn in their findings in combination with the University of Tennessee and their legal counsel. And they'll turn that in, and then the NCAA Infractions Committee will have a hearing, and they'll dole out what the punishments was. If I go back to the Booth Pearl case, what I thought was really interesting about that was that Tennessee had decided to stand behind Bruce Pearl. And you, I don't know if you remember that, but Jimmy Cheek said he's going to be the coach here. Said that in November. And then Mike Sly suspended him for 8 games while Cam Newton was, you know, a lot of people thought he was skating down there at Auburn because that investigation was going on. A big joke was, you know, they're so mad about Cam Newton, they suspended Bruce Pearl, right? But the interesting facet to me that came out of that was the law firm that Tennessee hired was not there to protect Bruce Pearl. It was there to protect the university, right? That's why Jeremy Pruitt has his own counsel. And basically what Jeremy Pruitt's saying is, our investigation doesn't match your investigation. You've come to this conclusion, but they're going to fight. You better believe they're going to fight and push Tennessee to prove that Jeremy Pruitt had some direct involvement, or he's going to be deserving of that buyout, is what they're going to argue. That's the next part of the case that I think is fascinating. I don't know if we'll ever know, you know, who the person was that came to the compliance or to the chancellor's office. But I thought it was important that Tennessee set the timeline down so everybody could know this isn't something that was lingering all season. They basically gave you that date so that you could know they took action immediately. And right now, that compliance part of it's everything, Bill.
Griff, always a pleasure, man. We'll see you next Tuesday, sir.
All right. Have a good one, man.